Previously on AFTN.
Can you put that Toblerone down, sir?
If this is a massive Toblerone.
No.
That'd be ironic. I don't like Toblerone. Okay.
I got to take back and put
it
back.
It says ho, ho, ho on it, going back to my Christmas party days.
The boxes I had to actually manufacture.
Can I just rip it?
Yeah, rip it. What do you want? Just keep opening it.
Ooh. You had to manufacture the box.
Right? Yeah. So you can, if you open the top, you can actually rip it out, or like take it out from the top.
I'm really intrigued. I have no idea what this is. I feel that I'm possibly going to Lord of the Rings territory.
Oh, close.
Oh!
Yeah, you
it's
like it?
It's Negan's bat.
Oh my god.
Oh, this is super.
Lucille.
Oh, but I go home and wake my wife up with this. Happy New Year! Which I know I did in the last episode, but that was just me on my own. Now I have friends.
It was a great episode.
Thank you.
I've said this to you before. Sometimes I wonder why you allow Steve and I to be a part of this.
I wonder that as well.
It's so good when, like, you're... Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
It was it's quality.
You are listening to the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of Beautiful, British Columbia. And if you're listening to this show in the podcast, this is episode 317. I am Michael McCall.
I'm Steve Pender.
And I'm Zachary Adam Eisenhammer.
And if after listening to the introduction there, you are wondering, six. That is my kill count so far with Negan's bat. In my dreams, which I do have some very dark dreams.
Has it come back yet or not yet? Are you right? The Walking Dead?
My dreams? Think it's back till February.
They got the Whisperers coming up in it too.
Yeah, they made their debut just towards the end of this mid-season finale.
So it's kind of like a cliffhanger kind of thing?
Yeah. I haven't read the comics, so I didn't know anything about it. My wife had, and she was stunned that I guessed what was going on. She's like, what?
They're the very scary, very deranged people. Mm.
I like folk like that. Hence, the answer to Zach's question, why I have you two on the show. How was your Christmas and festive period? Was it as quiet as the Whitecaps?
It was quiet, but I'm still like recovering from it. Like, it's very tiring. I can't wait till the kids go back to school.
Tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow. I'll wake up and there won't be any worries about like noises coming from anywhere in the house.
Yeah, I'll be able to wake up tomorrow. There'll be no kids in the house either. Thanks to Negan's bat.
Oh, man. No, it was great for me. Worshipping Jesus, hanging out with family, hanging out with friends. It was good.
Eating chocolate?
Did I have?
I ate way too
much. Oh, I had very little bit, yeah.
Because the job I have when I'm not doing all the AFTN stuff, I work with two other people. We get a lot of gifts at the Christmas period of chocolate.
Oh, and it's just...
One of them is allergic to chocolate, kind of like Steve. Mm. The other one doesn't eat chocolate, so I got to take all the chocolate home. As you may be able to tell, a lot of the chocolate.
Why you're wearing the rugby.
Yeah, I'm wearing a baggy shirt to cover my big chocolate belly that I have.
What is that? It's rugby?
No, it's kind of like a rugby shirt, but it is a football shirt.
Yeah.
It's Goal Soul. It's a Sheffield-based company that sell lots of football gifts. Check them out. Talking of football gifts, did anyone get any football-related gifts?
No.
Is that because my presents didn't arrive from China?
I thought you said you ate them.
No, you said I ate them. your presents still haven't arrived, so I've done something drastic.
Well, no, I heard that the Canada Post actually told everybody that was international, don't send your stuff yet, we're not ready for it. And they basically, they haven't even opened anything that was sent for like months.
I got some stuff.
Yeah.
But that was for me, so that was okay.
Well, yeah.
But like packages
you
were
tweeted
not open
about that, didn't you?
One of my main presents that Caitlin had bought for me hasn't arrived because it's coming with your two gifts. Oh. But I've done something drastic.
Didn't
I've ordered
order
your new gifts.
Didn't you order our gifts? So,
yeah.
So how's Caitlin's gift to you? You ordered your own
gift
from Caitlin.
I ordered my own
gift,
gotcha. Yeah.
So does this mean we're getting two gifts from me?
No.
Oh.
Because
you're eating the other one.
The gift that I had for you and Steve are similar, but like you and Steve, different colors. So I thought, I liked it, and I thought I might keep it for myself. So now I get the chance to keep it for myself. But it matched something, a hat that I've ordered for myself. That's all I'm going to say. We were going to be like triplets.
This is
a beard cozy.
This is why I don't get you football related gifts because you get yourself everything anyway. So there's no point in me getting it.
Well,
anyway.
So now
we had matching tops last year.
We did. Yeah, I know. I liked your top, so I bought myself one. So now I've ordered two new gifts. I'm pleased to say only one of them is coming from China.
So we're expecting June.
He looked at me.
That's Zach's. Steve, yours is coming from the States.
Ooh.
So yours should be here soon.
Do we want to do gifts now? Should we do this right now?
Okay, yeah, because Zach has brought his gifts.
I brought my gifts today. Okay, so
I'm through the Spider-Man.
Why not kick off a show by opening presents?
Yeah. I hope you don't have this already.
I hope this isn't what I've ordered him from the States.
No, this is not what you've ordered him from the States.
Oh, I can't even open these. That's, oh, there it is.
You don't have it, do you?
I do.
No!
No, he's either. It's a Marvel Code Names, which is something I would buy myself, I bought it for the kids ages a while ago.
Damn.
I can say if you've got me one, I don't have that.
Well, you could just swap. You could just swap.
I don't even know what this is.
You can't swap all of this.
This is actually quite hard. There's like some really like far out characters in there.
It's a I'm very so hoping game. This
but
is
thank chocolate. You. Thank you for the thought.
I'm so sorry.
It's hard for me to buy stuff. I tend to he buys stuff for himself for football related. I buy stuff a lot of this stuff for myself.
So you could swap this.
Oh, awesome. It's a
box
with the snowman.
Before you open this.
Oh, that's not my gift.
Would you take this?
No,
as
he's
a gift?
Not going to take this.
Would you play
I don't even know what it is.
Oh,
he's not going to take it.
I'll take it. And
it's a board game related to Marvel.
It's not a board game.
Oh, well, it is a game type.
I will happily take that and then
it's a game
take
using
it back
words.
And get a credit in a shop. Oh, I it's like those. So let me open this because I actually like tins and boxes. As you may have seen from my tweet when I tweeted out that I bought myself a big giant Jaffa cake tin. Anyway, let's see. This is exciting. Ooh.
Do you have that?
No, okay. I've never even. And it's chocolate. Yes.
Yeah, there's some chocolate there.
I don't know what this is, but it looks interesting.
So I went with themes. So last year I did Lego. Mm. This year it was games.
Oh, Sushi Go. Oh, I have that as well.
Yeah, it's Sushi Go, the pick and pass card game.
This is actually a very fun game. You would enjoy it.
And you can play just you and Caitlin.
But you need about
four people.
I love playing
just with Caitlin. Sometimes I forget. Like
If you had four people, it would be really enjoyable.
Oh, it would. I've tried to get her to do that, but she likes it when it's just me and her.
Well, there you go.
And Hershey's Mint Kisses.
And there's one. There's
I'm
one.
Thinking this could be a chocolate Jesus. Oh, it's a snowman. No, it's not. It's a Santa.
It's Santa, yeah.
The snowman was on the front. Thank
Steve,
you.
Steve, is there anything you don't?
Well, yeah.
Here, I'll
I guarantee that neither of you will have what I've ordered. Well, I don't think Zach will, but.
Is it a knockoff flounder kit from China?
Anyway.
Let's get to the show.
Yes, yeah, so. Tweet us what any football gifts that you had. I mean, did you guys get any football gifts?
No.
No,
I don't think so.
I bought myself some. I got a couple of comic books.
I got comic books. Oh, no, I didn't.
But I got two football-related comic books, which if they're good, I'm going to get Steve for next year. So that's why I haven't tweeted out what they are yet. And I'll bring mine along just to show
are
I haven't
given
them.
Are you talking about the Roy of the Rogers? The
no,
new one?
Roy of the Rovers.
Roy of the
no,
Rovers.
No, this is proper comic book stuff. Trust me, you'd like them. I got lots of books. Daniel Gray, two books I've been wanting for a while. I basically ordered all this and said to Caitlin, I've ordered my Christmas, thanks very much. That's kind of what I have to do, because she can't buy for me, because, like Steve, I have everything. Apart from a sex robot, but she didn't want to buy that. Let's get on with the show. New Year. It's a time for New Year's resolutions. We're going to come to what New Year's resolutions the Whitecaps might have in part two, but did any of you make any resolutions for this year?
I hope to get into good enough shape to play in the media match.
Oh, oh,
that's a
good, so it's a long-term one.
Yeah, it's a good long-term one. I didn't make any.
I need a new spine or back to do that, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, I didn't really make any of this.
My New Year's resolution for this year is to make a New Year's resolution for next year. But I'd made that resolution last year, and I didn't for this year, so I've already broke it. So I don't know. I don't really believe in them.
You could break the space-time continuum if
What do you mean when you say you don't believe in them? What does that mean to you?
It's not a thing where it's a faith thing or you have to believe in it.
I don't see the point of doing it.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
There, is right. that better? Okay. I was going to go off in a weird tangent and possibly by the way, some of our audience.
By the way, this resolution I have for the media match, this is like 2 years old as well. So, so I've been trying for the last 2 years.
My resolution, I'm going to make one now. We're going to start the show.
Good.
I think everyone listening at home is probably going to want to know about that. We're going to kick things off with the Whitecaps news of the week.
Not too
now that
much.
That's covered, moving on to the MLS news of the week. We are going to talk Whitecaps.
Well, there
in
are
part
some
two.
Former Whitecaps.
Yes, there's Whitecaps related.
Yes.
Jordan Mutch is available on a free. Looks like he's going to Nottingham Forest, which is actually quite a good move for him. But yeah, it may have been a quiet time in Whitecaps land, but throughout the rest of MLS, there's been little additions and there's been things happening here and there. We do want to start, though, by paying our condolences to Ziggy Schmidt. We haven't covered that yet, didn't tweet anything out about that, but sad to see Ziggy go, relatively young at 65. He'd gone into hospital before Christmas, and when I was talking to Zach about this, Zach didn't even know he'd gone into hospital. And
no, I hadn't heard
of it
either.
It didn't sound good at the time, because it did seem to be heart-related, so you kind of, you feared the worst, and then it's just very sad news coming out. Was it Christmas Day that he died, or was it just before? Because it kind of came out Christmas Day, Boxing Day. So
yeah, it was in and around there.
But, I mean, what he did in MLS, what he did with the Sounders, what he did with the Galaxy, was just, I mean, fantastic achievements. Maybe not so much with the Galaxy, but what he did with the Sounders was fantastic.
And didn't he coach the Crew as well? I think he won a title with the Crew.
Storied career.
I'm off by that.
And
It was Christmas Day, yeah.
He might have been a rival, but you have to acknowledge what he had done in the world of MLS. And
we had good fun with him.
Yeah, we had joked
obviously
with
it
him.
Wasn't with him because he didn't know that we were making fun of him.
We'll have to retire our...
Yeah.
One more there just for Ziggy.
Point to this guy.
Yeah, no, as much as I didn't appreciate the team that he was a part of, obviously, one of the perhaps his most significant era, or he was in Seattle for a long time.
Yeah,
and
the American, as Zach liked to refer to him.
No, I didn't. But I know I appreciated him and his perspectives on the game. It was
always fun to chat to him. We didn't chat to him a lot over the years, but when we did, he was open, honest.
Yeah, and when I listened to other things that he would say, I appreciated his perspective on the game. And I think I tweeted this out in around his passing, but like, yeah, he's German, and he's from this little place in Germany that I've been to, that I have friends from. And so whenever he would walk in front of their section at the stadium, I would say something about his hometown in a positive way. And he would stop or pause and look over and say something, or when he was in a rush, he'd give a thumbs up. And no, like he was, yeah.
Yeah, he won the, like, I thought he won something with the Crew. He did win the
MLS
Cup
2008,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, 2008. He won a number of U.S. Open Cups with Seattle. Obviously, they didn't win the MLS Cup with him. But he basically brought Seattle from no, as expansion team, and and kept them competitive right off the bat, which didn't
we might hate Seattle on this show, but RIP Ziggy. It's going to be interesting to see what the fans do for the first home match.
Maybe not in Los Angeles, but yeah, in Seattle and in Columbus.
Yeah.
Because he's held in high regard in, I guess, LA, or his early days in LA, he has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of MLS Cup, it's going to be a lot more teams going for it in the playoffs.
Yes.
They've made some overhauls in there.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest stories over the last couple of weeks. It's official. We covered the rumors about it, but the new playoff format is official. Everything will be tied up by the international break in November, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, the playoffs, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like they switched from writing on napkins to like getting out like the restaurant menu that's laminated.
Yeah,
and
using proper stuff.
Yeah, like
or maybe a white erase board.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So
they're using the menu as that. Yeah.
7 teams from each conference will get in. If you win the conference, you actually get a perk. You get a first round bye.
The only teams to get a first round bye will be the conference winners.
Then it's going to be straight single knockouts.
Yeah.
The one question I had, and I didn't ask for confirmation either. It looked like from all the stuff I saw that it's an actual bracket, not a
yes.
That's not.
You're not going to get reseeded and stuff. Yeah. I don't mind that.
I don't mind that either. If you beat the number one seed or number two seed. I think you should be able to play a lower seed if you need to. I think it works out well.
It's like that's your perk for doing well.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually really like it because that's how darts works in brackets.
Okay. Yeah.
And also the thing I like about it, like you said, the top team gets the the top seed and everything like that. And one of the biggest perks is the Supporter Shield winner can go all the way to the MLS Cup without having to travel.
Yeah.
They play at home every single game. Which
so
is a big advantage.
If you come seventh, there's zero chance you play at home, right?
No, yeah, essentially. The only way you would be is if you'd
have to knock out the number one seed.
If it was 2-7, yeah. 7
if
seeds in
the lowest,
finals.
If you're the lowest seven,
yeah. you're basically on the road the whole time.
So it's gonna be tough for us if we make it in, is what you're saying. Or our season could be over in mid-October.
I don't know.
We're going to have even longer off-season shows to do.
In the past, they've been better on the road anyway, so maybe it was better for them.
Maybe. Who knows, though, under
the
MDS
playoffs,
era.
So, Steve.
No, certainly not in the playoffs. But I like it. I think it's been good. It's long overdue, in my opinion. And we'll see how how it works.
It seems like a sensible move, but the on the other end of the spectrum of this, on the negative side, this is going to be more midweek games.
Yes.
In...
Although I've heard a few folks say, and I'm talking to the Whitecaps about it, they weren't expecting a lot more midweek games than what they already had.
Okay, there's going to be more midweek games. There has to be.
Yes, but I think you may also find teams then playing, there's not going to be bye weeks.
Yeah, there will be bye weeks because there's even teams now,
international
too.
Dates and stuff
right.
like that as well.
But there will be, you're going to hear it this year.
Definitely will be.
You're going to hear it this year.
Yeah.
So the biggest concern of those midweek games, I think, for the health of these organizations is how poor they tend to draw.
Yeah.
Or how limited you are. Like if you're the Galaxy and you can only have 7,000 during a whatever a college season or college when school's in or whatever however that works or whatever, you know there will be some negatives to this but overall hopefully it's a positive thing.
And well, we still don't have the schedule yet, which for me is a massive disappointment because it should be out by now so that folk can plan.
But you can't be surprised by that.
I'm not surprised. I'm just disappointed.
It's just the last couple of years this has happened. Before that, there was no schedule at all until like
January
February.
4th it came out last year.
Really? Yeah. Was it last year, January 4th?
I checked.
Oh, wow.
So,
no, but before that it was usually in February.
End of January.
It was late January. So it's slightly better, but the season's starting earlier. Folk are wanting to make the travel plans.
It's the first weekend of March, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't know what the schedule is going to be. We don't know what midweek dates the Whitecaps are going to have.
We know our first opponent.
You know the first two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked before about, I worry that to try and get the crowds in, they'll try and make some more of the marquee games, to use their terms, as midweek. So we may find ourselves playing Seattle or Portland midweek.
Which is awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was, I think we talked about this when it happened, but it's crazy. The Whitecaps finally are using the opening game to not play a natural rival or natural.
I was actually, we didn't fully talk about that on air, but I was surprised by that because I was pretty sure we were going to open against Toronto.
Someone like that, yeah. They've told us in the past that, because we said, hey, it's first game of the year. It should be easy to sell. They've told us in the past it's not easy to sell without it being a rival. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes after another not great
To me, I know, I understand that that's probably what the numbers they have, but to me, it doesn't make sense. You think everybody would want to get to the first game. That's a home opener.
I would think that, but that's just...
They call it first kick for a reason.
Some players were moving about. A few of them with Whitecaps connections. Kai Kamara gave an interview this week to MLSsoccer.com saying he was shocked to find out that the Caps didn't want him. He had given a lot of energy, helped coach the young players, and he was just surprised by it. Now, are you surprised to read that? Do you believe that he was shocked? Because
it depends on when.
We kind of thought pretty early on
Well, it depends on when he found out about it. If he found out about it in September or October, if he found out early, then yeah, he would be shocked.
All these things with what these players have said, everyone wants to read them from their own perspective. But for someone to quote Kai Kamara saying he's shocked, it makes sense in the sense of he was the top scorer on the team. He contributed to so much of the offense.
He was not a locker room disruption.
Yeah, he helped in the locker room. He worked hard to in his language of babysitting, you know?
Yes.
He did all this stuff. So in that sense, I think he is right to be shocked that they didn't want him back.
And to be honest, I do think we should have brought him back. Whether he is going to fit in the MDS system, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
got a message from him today. Looking forward to seeing when he comes to Colorado. It's going
to
be fun.
I'm looking forward to chatting with him. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be looking forward to chatting with him. Another one of the Whitecaps' departures, DP, Brick Shea, free agent, has taken his hair and gone to the MLS Cup winners of all teams. That is a good landing spot for Brick. He's in the heat. Not for Atlanta.
Yeah.
But it's a good landing spot for Brick. He's in the heat of Atlanta. He's with a good team who seem to look as if they might want to be playing him at left back. Baffling move, though, from Atlanta's side.
To replace Garza with Brick Shea.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Well, we don't know if they're replacing. They might have somebody in mind to come in and be ahead. The funny thing they mentioned was the leadership in the locker room. That was funny. Mm. The other part they said...
From Brick Shea.
Yeah. And then that's why I said funny. And then the other thing was that they wanted depth for the Champions League kind of stuff. So that's what
and
they were mentioning.
And he did do well with the Caps in the Champions League. If you ignore that horrendous miss against Tigres.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He and the injury that he got. Yeah. Stuff. But that aside, he did not bad.
I'm wondering, how much was Frank de Boer involved in that?
Mm.
Like... Was he involved at all? Was he involved? That guy, he played at Stoke.
Like, I've heard of Brick Shea.
He's the pig head in Stoke. Yeah, let's bring, like, it doesn't make sense.
Brick Shea is one of those surprising players. Like, you read facts about different players, and sometimes players surprise you, and he's one of them because he's into art and everything. And when he was little, he had a pet armadillo called Dalton, and he's actually got a tattoo off that armadillo, kind of in his, I'm showing in his pubic area just above there, but... Interesting guy.
Yeah, like Brick Shea is a talented footballer, but it's never been a question of his talent. It's been a question of the consistent application of his talent. And will that happen in Atlanta? Time will tell. Like with all things, time will tell.
And
wish him the best.
Oh,
like well, he's a nice guy. I genuinely wish him the best. The stuff that happened here was not his fault. It was not his fault. The off the field stuff that happened here was.
Oh, no. You can't blame that on the player at all.
No.
And he did perform up and down.
Okay, that's fair.
Now, another former Whitecap and a left back, a proper left back, Jordan Harvey, he got a new deal with LAFC. So
it's probably a 1-year deal.
Yeah,
probably, right?
Happy for Jordan. He's happy there, so that's good.
I was a little worried for him when
I
he
was
didn't
as
have,
well, yeah. Yeah. Keeping in LA, the Galaxy have a new coach, the 45-year-old Argentine, Guillermo Schelotto. Schelotto? That's Schelotto. Guillermo Schelotto.
Yeah.
New year, same pronunciations. It's a good appointment anyway.
Yeah.
He's won a couple of championships with Boca Juniors. With Boca Juniors. Experienced at international level with Argentina, obviously, as a player. They've got Zlatan back. It's kind of showing that the Galaxy, they are not going to miss the playoffs again this year, you feel. It's going to be a concerted push for them.
Well,
for
the concerning thing is that he mentioned that he wanted to really turn up the attack. He wanted to really increase the attack. That wasn't their problem last year. The problem was defending.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, call him GBS. That'll be easier.
GBS.
Guillermo Barros Schelotto. Is it finalized what's happening with the Dos Santos brothers? Phil.
They still have four DPs on their books, but the rumors are that Alessandrini is possibly going to Montreal. They've shown interest in him. I would take him here. That would be a nice little pickup.
Yeah, he's been a quality player.
I can't see the Galaxy then saying to a team that may be battling you for one of these lower playoff spots, here you go.
But are they all not also getting rid of the Dos Santos?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
They probably would be, and then they bring in somebody else.
Because they need to.
Yeah, they definitely do. Yeah. Columbus Crew.
Yeah, they have.
This week it made us wonder why we wanted to save them.
Yeah,
really.
they poached a couple of, well, not poached, one. No. They poached the GM.
Caleb Porter is there as head coach, yeah. Which with the Akron connection, at some point he was going to probably land in Columbus. And they've got Bez Bath and Beyond.
Bez Pachinko, I
yes.
think.
Oh, man.
From TFC.
Well, yeah. Well,
and he knows how to win championships, sadly.
No, but he gets, okay, he did a lot
he
of
He gets
trauma.
A lot of credit.
He gets a lot of credit. Yeah. But the original vision stuff that happened at TFC was Tim Leiwicki.
Oh, yeah.
So he I'm not saying he didn't do anything or wasn't, like, he played a significant role. But I don't know if everything that happened in Toronto happens without Tim Leiwicki.
Hmm. Who would you think is the Whitecaps equivalent to Bez Bath and Beyond?
You don't want to go down this hole, do you?
No. You're setting
not,
them
not just
up,
before
man.
A break. The last thing then before a break, we want to say a big congratulations to a guy that we love a lot here in the show, Pamadou Ka, officially made assistant coach at FC Cincinnati. So that's going to be an interesting sideline there.
There's one more. Ali G.
Oh, yes.
Ali G went
Signed
back to Portugal.
Portugal. Yeah, I'll keep an eye
not,
on him.
Not
there.
With Portugal, but.
That just happened announced today, right? Or something? Or?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure we'll all be trying to keep an eye on him. Anyway, we'll be back with some Whitecaps chat now after this.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theatre, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
I'm going away. Look into my eyes. The last Sunday of every month from 11 to 5. I want you here with me.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
Welcome back. It is All Quiet on the Western Front. Well, the Whitecaps front anyway. Not quite here in the studio. You're listening to the AFT and Soccer Show on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of beautiful British Columbia. So it has been quiet in Whitecaps land. The Christmas Day announcement of a signed player that I had a hunch was going to go on. My hunch was terrible. I've been a posture person, so I'm better now.
Easy there.
Us fixing Michael's posture.
That was a reaction I've not had for a while. Oh, let's see. Let's see if Zach can guess what this is. Mic drop.
Oh, mic drop.
I was gonna say,
I really hurt my knees.
I was right there. Yeah, why did you do that so dramatically?
Yeah, that was really.
I was gonna.
That was for everyone watching at home. Did we not get the camera set up this week? Crap.
I thought you were doing like. Oh, I'm sorry, man. You didn't need to be so dramatic.
I really, really landed hard on both my knees.
You could sit down. You can pretend it's headlines. Headlines.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you were doing a. It looked like a 2012 Camilo impersonation, actually, for a second.
I could be a Uruguayan.
He's Brazilian.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten him already. There we go.
So there is some news coming out of Whitecaps.
There is. And we're going to break some transfer gossip in this part. So stay tuned for that. I'll keep teasing you along. The draft is coming up on Friday.
Yeah, MDS is there right now, probably.
Yeah, they've been at the combine. The Caps right now don't have a first-round pick or a third-round pick. We do have a second-round pick, which is 35th overall.
Well, I think they only
I think you know that like top 35 players are all quality in that super draft.
They only do two rounds in the first day.
Yeah, it's just two this week. And then I think we're 83rd or something in the fourth round.
Yeah.
There's still a fourth round. Depth, yeah.
A lot of people pass on those.
I was going to say, that's the RSL.
But while they don't have a pick, they can buy a pick.
Yes.
It costs about $200,000 for a top five.
Or a trade for Efi Fares.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then like 6 through like 10 is like 150, and then it decreases and so on. So they can trade for a draft pick if they like somebody. If MDS likes somebody on the, somebody on the pitch.
Okay, actually, I'll do the breaking news now. The Caps are going to be trading Efi Juarez for a Super Draft pick. We now have the 96th pick in the MLS Super Draft this year. So
the fifth round.
It's a new fifth round. Zach's just staring at me because he's not sure if I'm being serious or not.
You're not.
No.
Yeah.
I don't see the point of MDS going down there and wasting all his time with all this and even bothering going for the second round if you're not going to maybe consider making a move. Well, I don't think they're going to dismiss
it. No, but things happen at these things, so you got to be there.
And what happens at the MLS Super Draft stays at the MLS Super Draft.
The other thing is,
do a lot of our picks over the years.
The other thing is not you're not only going for the draft, but you're going to talk to other coaches. This is an area of time to connect and everything, make trades and everything. But there are some players you like.
Yeah.
One player in particular.
I haven't taken a lot of interest in the draft, but a guy that I really genuinely would want us to maybe make a play for. Some of the drafts have him going about 12 to 15, 16. He's a striker, played his college football with Florida International University. He's a proper centre forward, Santiago Patino. He played with the Sounders under-23s in PDL, watched him a lot this season, and he is impressive. 9 goals and 3 assists in their 14 matches.
With Seattle. Yeah.
He comes from good footballing stock. His dad was a Colombian international.
So a Colombian and a flounder.
He was a keeper.
I knew.
I think this guy would be a keeper as well.
There is some Canadian content too, though.
There's a lot,
and I'm surprised that when I saw his name, Callum Montgomery, what we're talking about here, a former Highlander. Yeah, I expected
another guy I've watched in PDL.
I did not expect him to be so highly rated.
No, having watched him in PDL for the last two seasons, neither did I, because I don't see it. He made the PDL All League team on a Highlanders defense that was terrible, and TSS Rovers put 7 goals past them. So that's not a quality defence.
Maybe you missed
with
that.
With all respect to TSS Rovers. And from speaking to some coaches in our PDL region, they're very surprised that his stock is held so high. I think it's one of those things. He's at UNC Charlotte. So
He's a domestic.
Yeah, he qualifies as a domestic as well.
Maybe he didn't have a good PDL, but maybe his college. Because he wasn't.
He must have.
Because he wasn't touted before the season started.
Top Drawer Soccer had him as one of the highly rated PDL
Pre-season?
Guys. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He did. He has had 11 goals and 7 assists in his college career. So for a defender,
73 matches.
Yeah.
Right?
For a defender, that's not a bad output.
Yeah.
I just genuinely didn't see anything in PDL that made me think, oh, this is the guy you want to make a play for. Of course, now watch him end up at the Whitecaps.
No, the thing is, a lot of these kind of players, the coaches are looking for certain things, and they're looking for things that can be corrected. If the thing can be corrected, then they'll go for it if he has that raw talent.
He can also play midfield. Yeah. So he's a fullback. He can play both wings. He can play midfield. Yeah. So he's a bit versatile as well.
But he's not the only Canadian.
No, there's a couple of really exciting Canadians.
Two Generation Adidas signings.
Which is very surprising for Canadians.
Tejon Buchanan from Syracuse. He's from Ontario. He had like 8 goals in about, I think it was 14 games. He's basically a winger. But I think this year they had him playing more in the middle as a striker. He's about 6 foot. 6 foot tall. So I think he's more, probably when he comes to first MLS, he'll be a winger. No, he's got enough speed.
No relation to Kadisha?
I don't think so. Not that I know of. And then the other one is a keeper, Dane St. Clair. He actually led Maryland in the NCAA tournament to a championship. Allowed no goals in the tournament. So they have him rated around 11, anywhere from 5 to 15 or something like that. But right around 11 is average, yeah. So those two guys are going to be high up there.
Goalkeeper for the Caps wouldn't be something to be interested. A winger, maybe, depending. Yeah. Of course, Generation Adidas does make him more likely to go. Santiago Patino that I was talking about, Steve and me were talking about this on the phone. For me, he's a pure centre-forward, like kind of a dying breed almost. And like Steve made a good point. That isn't probably the kind of centre forward that Mark DeSantos is going to be wanting.
Or he would have brought Kai Kamara back while you're right.
He could, though, be a good person to have on the bench and maybe bring off the bench, but very inexperienced. I'd still maybe rather have someone like Ricketts maybe come in and fill that role.
But like a guy like Buchanan is probably fits more the mold of what he's looking for in a striker. Like a little bit, like a guy that can play in the wing and can play in the middle.
You got Ricketts on the squad for next year?
Oh, I thought you meant because of my poor health and lifestyle, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Ricketts here.
A couple more local connections that could go anywhere in the first to second round. One we got from SFU, Mamadi Kamara.
Yeah.
He also
won't go
from
in the top two ranks.
No, but from Montreal, probably he's more of a third or fourth round. But then Alex Comsia, the former Whitecap Resident player.
Who someone was asking why we don't have his homegrown rights, because he didn't want us to have rights.
He went to France.
He went to play Nantes, I think.
Yeah, to play in their academy. I don't even think it was a thing that he didn't want the Whitecaps to have his rights. I think it was more
better
that he wanted to do a better opportunity in France. And then I don't know how he got back into university, because you think that...
I know.
You signed maybe he didn't sign a pro contract. Maybe it was an academy pro contract or something.
Well, Gloria Amanda went down and played for Oregon State.
Yeah, so I don't know.
He was with WFC too, so it's weird.
It's weird.
I spoke to guys at SFU, they said, yeah, he won't be eligible.
I'm sure if Alex is drafted by the Whitecaps, he'll come and play for them.
Oh, he would, yeah.
He's not going to be...
And he's someone we could definitely pick up in the second round.
Yeah.
Will he be that far down?
No, he was rated mid.
Mid second round?
Mid first round.
Yeah,
kind of late.
I thought I heard his name higher.
Initially, but then all the Generation Adidas contracts came in, and that might have pushed him down.
And of course, there's a whole nonsense of the combine where you stick all these players that's never seen each other in their life, and then you have a bad game, and then your stock drops.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're Canadian as well, like poor old Callum Irvin. Although there is different rules now if you've come through academies and stuff.
Wait, so Comsia, is he a domestic on American teams? Do we know?
That I don't know. I have a hunch he might be though.
Yeah, because I think his age and the time he spent would be good for him. I really appreciate his family. They're always good.
Yeah, his dad was always
good
fun to talk to the Residency Games.
I wish him well, and I hope he, whether it's here or overseas again, I hope he gets I'm looking forward to the next part of his career.
Well, no matter what happens on Friday in the draft, we should be guaranteed at least one new player in the squad from our second round pick. So, yay, a new player.
You sent me a text. I didn't ask you if you were being sarcastic. Are you, it's January 6th. Are you really a little surprised? Was your text sarcastic about?
I'm not surprised. I was expecting them to maybe make some announcements this week just to kind of calm the fans down a little bit. You do have the problem, it's not a problem. The MLS international transfer window doesn't open until February 7th. So the players that you're adding just now are like free agents from wherever.
Yeah.
Like Andy Rose, for example. Or MLS guys that you've traded for.
So you can't transfer someone in.
Yeah.
But that's the weird... But officially. Those windows are... So certain countries' windows will be closed in February.
Yeah, but ours is open, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so we can bring it in. We just wouldn't be able to sell to those countries.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you could get a deal done and announce it beforehand, or deals are likely to be done, which is going to come.
Because you can announce a deal anytime. Oh, yeah. The player's in the last 6 months of his contract.
Exactly.
Which you yeah.
And I know there's been a bit of panic that there's been no additions, especially with a week tomorrow is when the training camp opens. We can at least get a five-a-side game. So, I mean, that'll be some good scrimmages to watch. But you have to think, if the transfer window doesn't open until February 7th, that's a good thing. Because it maybe actually means that for once, we're not just looking for free agents. We might pay transfer fees and get a decent player. Or is that just wishful thinking?
Say that again. Wait, say it one more time.
No, he's saying that you're not desperate just to fill in the
roster. We're not just desperately filling a roster with free agents. We're actually maybe going to wait until we have to pay some money to actually get a guy.
And there are sometimes when the windows close in other leagues, they're sometimes desperate to offload people and you get better deals.
Right. There's no doubt they have to spend money on a transfer. They absolutely.
Well, you say there's no doubt. You hope there's no doubt.
But with the Whitecaps, you
do worry.
If they do not spend money on a transfer between now and first kick,
I know
that'll be crazy.
That's why I think it's good not to fill it all up.
And you can't say, we got to wait till the summer. They have to spend money on someone in this window. They absolutely have to.
Well, they need to add some starters for certain.
I mean, we talked about
5 to 6.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's our big news. I know where Greg Anderson is heading.
Right.
He has flights booked to the UAE and to Korea. So I heard that a couple of days ago.
Because in addition to your other job, you're also a ticket agent?
Yeah, a hacker of ticket agents.
No, I mean...
Yeah, so my work for TravelAFTN.com, which I was surprised that Greg booked through us, but I mean, he's very trusting. He likes to go with folk that he knows.
Did he read the fine print?
He missed a bit that says, any bookings are subject to being talked about on the AFTN soccer show. So,
but you got him a good deal.
Yeah, but we did. Admittedly, it's 5 stopovers, but it fit his budget, and that was the main thing.
Oh, Michael.
And he was happy to sit on the wing, literally on the wing. He's strapped in well, though.
That'll make certain people happy.
Yeah. So he's heading to the UAE and Korea. So when I found that out, initially I was like, oh, he's heading to two different countries. These are for two different players. But then good old Steve,
I poured the ice
sensible,
on his, yeah.
He pissed on my parade, dried myself down, took his thoughts at face value, and it is probably the same player because I think this means we are going to be signing the South Korean 22-year-old Hwang In-byeom.
Right.
Probably another name I've murdered.
Right.
Because he is Korean and he's currently in the UAE for the Asian Cup.
Right. Is he... How much will he cost?
That I don't know, but he has been... He's been highly rated and there was Bundesliga clubs interested in him. So he's not going to be going for cheap, but I don't think it's going to be like a big deal.
And is it right back?
No, midfielder.
Right-sided midfielder.
Yeah. Now, 22-year-old, so he'll probably be a young DP.
One way the Whitecaps can save money on a transfer fee is if they promise to share any sell-on fee with the Korean team. Basically saying, okay, well, you give us for him for this much, and then when we sell him to the German Bundesliga or wherever he goes next, you get to keep 25% of that.
Well, any team and they should be doing that.
And they could show that, look what we sold Alphonso Davies for. Other German teams are good. So that is
a good marketing ploy that the Whitecaps can use. It said, look, teams are going to be watching our guys now. We can have these guys in the shop window. It's a good one to tell agents and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Now, Hwang, it's an interesting story about him. He hasn't played at a high level in Korea in the K-League. It's only in Division 2 with Daejeon Citizen.
Now, there is a reason why that is the case.
Yes, he's not very good.
No. No, it's essentially, and I asked a couple of people that kind of follow Korean football a little. What they said is he was with that team. He was with, I can't remember the name of the team. They were in the first division. Now, when they got relegated, the thing is, you don't automatically sell that player onto the first division, back to the first division. Also, he had military commitments.
Yes.
And that's why you don't sell him.
He had to do military service.
But they recently won the gold medal.
Yeah.
And in the 2018 Asian Games. Comes.
Yes. Yeah. And that allowed them to, part of the Tottenham player too, I can't remember.
Yeah,
his
son.
Name. Yeah. So that whole team now doesn't have the military commitments. That's why he's now available to
Halfway
sell too.
Halfway through his military service, he was discharged, which is a fantastic reward.
Yeah, because if you look on Wikipedia, he has he's played for the military team, whatever they're called. Yeah.
Crazy story. I mean, if he does come here, it's going to be an interesting thing to talk to him about. But yep, Greg Anderson on his travels to the UAE and Korea. Will he come back with more than one player, though? That's the big thing. Very little word, though, on any other signings. I genuinely don't think there's any need to panic right now.
And again, that one's not a done deal.
That's not a done deal. Yeah, okay. But he's not going to be going there on his holidays.
No.
Unless he's a big fan of the Asian Cup. He could be.
Maybe they might get other players from there, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, when I thought, it might be a player that's in the UAE and Korea, I had a look at guys from the UAE that were either free agents or soon to be coming to an end of a deal. And there are a lot of Brazilians playing in the UAE just now. And we all know that Mark DeSantos loves a Brazilian, almost as much as me.
Yeah, a lot of attacking midfielders playing in there. There's a lot of strikers.
Yeah, some of the top scorers are Brazilian.
Yeah.
And a lot of players called Leonardo. Seems to be a very common Brazilian name if you play in the UAE. It is concerning more than panic or worrying just now that we haven't made any additions, but in MDS we trust. We have to feel it's better not to just rush and panic buy. We're maybe looking a little bit barer than old Mother Hubbard's cupboard, but I think we have to give him until mid-February before we maybe start hitting.
Yeah,
a little bit
that's
of panic
fair.
Buttons.
The difference between this and the last coaching change is that Robbo was here for 2 years as an assistant, and he knew exactly how the club operated, what they did, what they didn't do, and how he could bring players in and not bring players in. So yeah, this is different. I'm not. Yeah, I don't totally sympathize with the people who are freaking out that, you know, not enough players have been brought in. But like you, I would say at least there's a mild concern. I know there's a province article saying everyone just calm down or whatever. But in 4 or 5 weeks there should be more than one significant signing made.
If we do get the Korean guy as well, there's folk going to see that he's played in the second tier and they're going to be poo-pooing that and thinking it's not a high signing.
Definitely.
Yeah. But I had a lot of chats with Rob over the years. And now he's not here, I may as well share some of this. He was offered so many players over in England that were in the lower leagues. Some of them were non-league. And he felt he couldn't take them because of what the perception would be of, you're wasting how much money on a non-league player? Because he was offered one of the top scorers in the National League, the top non-league in England. He was really interested in him, but the salaries over there, even for the non-league teams, are ridiculous. So he would have been a DP here. And I get that. The perception of bringing a non-league player in as a DP would be like, where's your ambition and everything like that? It does make it hard because the salaries here are really not the same as they are in the rest of the world.
The one thing that'll be different if the deal gets done for this player is he's in the national team.
Yes.
Is he a starter? I can't remember if he's a starter.
He has started games, but he's in the squad just now over at the Asian
Cup. That would be different than the non-league DP.
Yeah.
Well,
just round off this section on Whitecaps chat with looking at some Whitecaps New Year's resolution. So I put this out on Twitter just to get people to send in what you thought the Whitecaps should make for their New Year's resolutions or what some of the players, past or present, might want to have as their New Year's resolutions. So I want to read a couple just to start with. El Canico said, being realistic, I'd like MDS to have a resolution of building towards a competitive team. This year likely won't bring much success, But let's see the foundations being laid in this transfer window and July, and by this time next year, we can start talking trophies. Now, Carlos A. at Nobertos, he replied, "What are you talking about? MDS has to bring success in his first year. Rennie and Robbo, when they started, got into the playoffs with a decent record. If MDS is barely scraping by, time to rethink his strategy or the owner's pockets." El Canico replied to that, "That would be great if we do make the playoffs this year, but considering how many players are being replaced and the time it will take to build chemistry between the new ones, the odds are we won't be hoisting any trophies this year, but hopefully next year's, fingers crossed." Now, I see both sides of that, because you do want to be in the playoffs. We didn't make it this year, or 2018. We've never not made the playoffs 2 years running, so the pressure is on to do it. But this is a whole different MLS than when Rennie took over and when Robbo took over.
Drastically.
You've got a lot more competitive teams throughout the league and the Western Conference as well. A question to throw at you, and I know folks will say you're just being a bit facetious or whatever, but which team is more like an expansion club right now? FC Cincinnati or the Whitecaps?
On the surface, it looks like the Whitecaps are more the expansion team, but a lot of the expansion part of it is not just on the pitch. It's off the pitch, too. So while you'll say that, oh, there's a lot of turnover, but they've had a lot of turnover, too. And while they've been able to spend money and acquire top talent, especially on the defense, which I think makes them less of an expansion team because they spent money on the back end.
They spent money in the USL to get some pieces that they've taken with them, such as Addy.
Yeah, so
the Whitecaps did that.
Yeah, but not very effectively.
Our 2010 thing was... Do you mean in 2010 or do you mean last season?
I meant 2010.
We do right now look like an expansion team because we've got a core of players we've brought up, so to speak, from the 2018 team.
I bet you...
And we're looking to add our big players.
I bet you they wish they had the $1 million GAM that they had as an expansion team.
Yeah.
They have enough GAM, I think, because there's a Davies signing.
Yeah, but then that's the thing. There are people around the league watching what they do with this money, because you have it. You have like the Atlanta model. Well, you have like Toronto, okay? Just go out and spend significant amounts of money on well-known players who are going to contribute. You have this Atlanta model where it's build a solid team, but they've said we're going to spend money on young and up-and-coming quality South American players and then sell them on for even more and not just reap the profits of that. We're going to reinvest it again. And so it's going to be interesting to see, one, how Atlanta actually does that, because – you've seen it with, I think, Barco kind of shows a little bit that them pre-spending the money they were going to sell him. And he obviously has taken time to get settled in and whatever. But people are watching the Whitecaps. Like, people around the league. The league, we know the MLS office is watching them. But people around the league are talking about this. What are the Whitecaps going to do? Are they just going to, pay off certain things over time, like academy, like whatever? Even though they said it's all going into the football, what are we going to be able to see? And the sad thing is, I might be wrong, but my prediction for 2019 is the first use of the Alfonso Davies money will be to buy out Efren Juarez. So the first amount of the Alfonso Davies money will be a half to $750,000 going to Efren Juarez.
And a few folk have wondered why that hasn't happened yet. You want to try and find somewhere from the land first without wasting that money.
Right.
A couple of other resolutions just to wrap this part up. Caleb Wilkins says, "The biggest resolution I'd like to see is a clear plan for implementing academy players in the first team." Joe Knutson has four. One.
He's one away from a flash five.
Can we please sign some people? Two. Field a team with offence first philosophy.
I think that's
three. Quality number 10. And four. After how the last few years have gone, having an improved team on the upswing is essential after how things have gone. Let's get our done team. Conrad Bugalink?
Conrad, this is the guy who gave you the...
Oh, I know who he is. He's my Dutch treat supplier. He says, "For the Caps to communicate the excitement of the new season well, when local media has to remind Caps fans to be patient, as you referred to with that Province article, it's clear that the Caps front office is not doing enough to keep the fans engaged. Instead, we just get to read about all the action other teams are making. Leak something. Be fun. Well, we've kind of mentioned we might be getting this Korean guy. We'll just finish on a tweet from Murray Lynn, who sent us this tonight, saying, do the Whitecaps still exist as an MLS team, or will Reyna be the top scorer in the Vancouver Island League this season? Vince Greco's going to be excited if he gets to have Reyna for Nanaimo United or Couchen. Anyway, we'll be back with some more chat after this.
You're invited to the launch party of Noise Complaint, a brand new podcast from CITR 101.9 FM. The party is on Friday, January 18th, at the Avant Garden with live performances from Maneater and Hope. Doors at 9 p.m. and bands at 10 p.m.
I take my life. I want you all to take your life. I want you all to have your life. UBC Theatre and Film presents Lion in the Streets, directed by MFA candidate Michelle Thorne, telling the story of Isabel, the ghost of a murdered 9-year-old Filipina. Returning to the neighborhood 17 years after her death, young Isabel drops into the lives of her neighbors and reveals the hauntingly raw underbelly of human nature. Ultimately hopeful, Judith Thompson's seminal play Lion in the Streets devours with devastating beauty. Running January 17 to February 2nd at the Telus Studio Theater in the Chan Center for the Performing Arts. Student tickets only $11.50 at theaterfilm.ubc.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
So Steve finally turned the mic on there. That was nice. He was just getting—he was getting so excited about Paddington 2.
Oh, it's a great movie,
of,
man.
Of all the films,
I love that movie.
I just watched it. I've had it on the PVR for a while, and I love Paddington 1.
Yeah.
I liked the Paddington two, animated two, things in the '70s.
I think 2 was better than 1. Oh, the sequel is better than the first.
It was a fantastic
I watched it in the theaters
movie.
When it came out. It was like because kids like it, so we thought I'd take them. I loved it.
Oh, it was great. So much so that we've just ordered the box set of the 1970s stop motion thing that I used to watch as a kid of Paddington.
Oh. This is how much, it actually woke me up a little bit there. I was like a little bit drowsy in the last segment, and now I'm like wide awake.
He was very fiery in that break.
Yeah. This is going to be the last part. We're doing a shorter show tonight because there isn't tons to talk
you
about.
You can't say that because then it woke.
Well, I've only got three parts scheduled, so there's not really much more to talk about. So this is going to be the last part of
the
tonight's AFTN soccer show.
Hour-long trivia segment.
We can play the sushi game you've brought along. So we're going to kick off this final part of the AFTN soccer show on CITR Radio, 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory. We're going to kick this part off with my favourite part of the show, Wavelength. Now, this is a special year for the Whitecaps. It's the 40th anniversary of winning the biggest thing that the Whitecaps have won in their history, the 1979 NASL Soccer Bowl. Going to be a whole year of festivities, I'm sure.
So this song is about football violence?
Yes. Hopefully they bring Willie Johnson over and we can get him on the show live.
Yeah.
Because when I spoke to him when he was last over, the swearing that he did in the interview was fantastic.
Yeah, but I think it might be past his bedtime at 11 o'clock.
I'll give him a few drinks.
Okay.
Perk him up. Won't give him what he took in the World Cup that got him sent home though. But we've reappropriated a lot of stuff in this show over the years. The Whitecaps reappropriated the Chelsea song Blue is the Colour, with white as the colour. Mm-hmm. And everyone knows it as that. So I thought...
Sorry, no, what do you mean everyone knows it as that?
Here.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, not yeah. It's not folk walking about Cockney land going, God, blimey, listen at that. Chelsea's playing that Whitecaps song. I may have watched some Dick Van Dyke over Christmas as well. So I thought, let's play another Chelsea song that the Whitecaps can maybe steal for this 40th anniversary. But this is a really good Chelsea song. It does feature some Chelsea players, but more importantly, it features Suggs and Madness. And I was watching Madness bringing the new year in London at Big Ben with a fantastic greatest hit set. So this is Blue Day. Suggs, Madness, and the Chelsea 1995 FA Cup final squad there. This was before Chelsea were winning things because we're mega rich. This is a day when Chelsea were starting to come back into things again.
They were the plucky underdogs?
Yes.
Yeah, I was saying, Jeff Tinker, who's a big Chelsea fan, he's over on that side of
it's over?
The pond. And he was just at the he was at the cup game there with Nottingham Forest FA Cup game.
Oh.
And it's his dad's favorite team. So I messaged him during the game. I'm like, is your dad with you? Are you at the game? And he's like, I'm at the game, but my dad's he said Northern Scum's not allowed.
I have watched so much FA Cup football this week, actually football in general this weekend. VMSL game on Friday night and Saturday afternoon. One FA Cup game on Friday, I think it was 12 or 14 I watched to various degrees, some in full, some fast-forwarding on Saturday, and then six today. Because Caitlin was meant to be going to the island to visit her parents, or parents.
And she didn't again?
And she didn't again. And I was like, but I'm watching all this football. And she's like, I don't mind, you can do it when I'm here.
Well,
so I did.
Well, now you have something you can do with her while you watch the football.
Yep, we'll have some sashimi with her.
Yeah, but you know, just it's a quick game. It can be very short.
She likes it quick.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a busy time. Steve seems to be itching to press a button.
I'm just ready. I don't know when you're going to
He's in the ready position.
I'm just waiting for you to give me the cue.
Anyway, now it's time for Steve's favourite part of the show, BC Soccer Web Headlines.
I just like the theme song.
Who doesn't?
I just like Bill Curry.
I like curry.
There you go.
So we've got Steve in the show, who brings us great samosas. Anyway, I guess we should say it's time now for BC Soccer Web Headlines, your one-stop site for local, national, and international news, reviews, links, stories, everything you could possibly want on a website. Check out bcsoccerweb.com. And Steve has had so many things filling his eye sockets this week and other parts of his body.
No, not that much. Are you talking about food? So a couple of follow-ups. Infantino, basically, you know how he wants to get this 48-team Qatar,
yes.
I think. Well, he brought it up again.
I know.
At a conference in Dubai, he mentioned that he's looking to share the tournament in order to expand it to 48 teams. He says the World Cup will take place in Qatar with 32 teams for sure. Obviously, if we can increase it to 48 and make the world happy, we should try it. Of course, some of the world doesn't want it.
I like that make the world happy bit. It's like, what?
Problem is some of the countries that are surrounding Qatar, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Byron, Egypt, they're still enforcing a diplomatic and trade boycott.
Sorry, Byron or Bahrain?
Bahrain.
Okay, Bahrain.
I thought Bayern had been. It's pretty close, though,
I said Bahrain.
To Qatar.
Are enforcing a diplomatic trade boycott of Qatar, so that might be a stumbling block there.
Just a bit.
Now, they do have apparently an expert panel at FIFA to set up, they've set up to deal with the issue. They will have a final decision in mid-March, so we'll update that at that time.
Who's on it?
Stephen Caldwell. He's always on the expert panels.
Oh.
KJ and Caldwell's launched a new podcast this week.
You seem excited with that, Are you excited for it? Or?
I'm happy for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're nice people. you look on your face.
Simon does.
I don't know Caldwell's too well, but I enjoy KJ.
Okay, so next story. Now, we talked about before, Man City was under European ban if they had found out, due to football leaks, that they had hiding funds or whatever through their financial fair play. The head of UEFA's independent club financial control body has confirmed publicly that they are under investigation for misreporting income sources, and it is going to be taken care of. He said, if it is true what has been written, there might be serious problem. This could lead to the heaviest punishment, which is an exclusion from the UEFA champ competitions. A couple of things they tried to do, and this was in 2015 mostly, they attempted to disguise 75.5 million euro as sponsorship dollars, and they tried to hide 50 million of euros of salaries
okay.
as well.
Okay, so is this from the Footy Leaks thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So when I read this from you, Steve, this hiding $50 million of salaries reminded me a little bit of your home country there, what happened with Rangers. Isn't this what they partly with? They got in trouble for having two contracts.
They had two contracts, right. One which paid
they filed,
tax and one which didn't pay tax.
Okay.
They got
hiding $50 million of salaries.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
They got demoted to the league below East Fife. That's how bad they were.
I don't know how many years this would be a ban from European, but I'm assuming they'll just probably do one. That's what my assumption
is. It would be great.
Bet you nothing happens from it.
No, but it would be great.
It would be fantastic. I would love one of these big teams to be have an example made of them.
Yeah.
And if it was Man City, even better, because Dwayne Rollins would be sad.
So would my cousin and nephew. So another...
Good, don't like him.
Some news out of Italy. The leader of the Inter Milan Ultras was arrested for a death of a fan in clashes. Now, his name is Marco Pivola. He was the arrested fan. He's been charged with homicide after a Napoli fan was struck by a vehicle outside the San Siro on December 26th. These were Napoli fans that tried to sneak in past police. And then the Inter Milan Ultras found out, and they had a pre-planned assault, you know, basically ready to go. And they're the ones that instigated too. So they basically, they've arrested the leader of the Ultras as maybe an example, because they can't pin it on one particular person. I don't know how well that's going to go for them.
That's just sad that someone died.
But football violence continues in Europe.
And February on AFTN.
Yeah. You're talking about the FA Cup. I know I don't have this listed here, but there was a lot of, I'm going to say there was controversy of VAR issues.
Yes.
But it wasn't really. The headline made it look like a controversial thing. But when they
just in the Man U game.
There was a number of them. Mm. There was a full four. But the thing is, every time they explained it, it was the proper call.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they were always concerned about them not knowing what's going on. The biggest problem was not every FA Cup game had VAR.
And no, 9 of them did.
And then there was the Chelsea one didn't, and Morata was asking for VAR, even though at that game there's no VAR. So that was one game that didn't happen.
To Tinker, who's at that game, apparently Morata scored both the goals for them, and he just said it's crazy that a player can score both goals and still look terrible.
In the Fulham Oldham game, that was a fantastic game. If you get a chance to see the highlights of that, it was tremendous, and there's a cup shock as well. A player got booked for gesturing to do VAR. That's one of the first ones I've actually seen the guy doing that. And the commentator's like, he should be booked for that. He should be booked for that. And it's like, okay, he's only done a little TV sign. It calmed down a bit. Because it was never a penalty. And they reviewed it on VAR and they still gave it. And even the commentator's like, there was no contact. So VAR's not always great. But then Fulham brought a guy on, because they're dressing a lot of players. They brought a guy on just to take the penalty. And he missed.
Oh.
It was saved. And then Oldham went up the pitch and scored the winner. Fantastic game.
So and they brought a substitute on to take that.
Yes,
does not seem
teams.
Wise.
No. I know, first kick, yeah. Not warmed up.
Yeah.
And you either going to go through to the next round, or as this turns out, got saved and they got knocked out. But I want to say a big well done to my AFC Wimbledon.
They won.
They beat Fleetwood in the fourth round for the first time in their history. I think the first time. Maybe the second time. Definitely one of those two times. And I'll edit that out once I check that on the thing. And a big well done as well to Newport County. Goldie Luke and Shane will be drunk to hell tonight.
Or yesterday.
Knocked out Leicester
today?
City.
They won today?
Yep.
Or?
Big cup shock. Beat the Foxes. Not been a good season for Leicester.
Some other MLS news that we didn't talk about. The new Miami Football Club has already hired their first technical director.
Could you call them by their full name?
Club Internacional de Football, Miami. And so they hired Kurt Schmid. He was formerly a scout for Seattle and LA Galaxy.
It's Ziggy's son.
Yeah, and he'll be the technical director as the team prepares for 2020. Nice that they have one and the Whitecaps still are looking for their first technical director.
Yes, although I do believe Mark DeSantos is very keen to get a technical director in place.
Have you applied?
I haven't. Okay. I do believe he's getting a bit of pushback, though. So we'll see if he ever gets one.
Wait, what? Are you saying the coach of the Whitecaps is getting pushback?
Hard to believe,
from
I
those
know.
Higher up.
Yeah.
That does not sound right.
But obviously MDS will get his way.
Somebody who didn't get their way during the Christmas break, Wayne Rooney was arrested at Dulles International Airport in Washington for either drunkenness or swearing or both.
Mm. Wait. You can get arrested for swearing?
Yeah, apparently. When you're swearing at
A scouser got drunk and swore?
Yeah. It was at...
What, Wayne Rooney got drunk?
Yeah.
Was there any granny involved?
No, there wasn't. No, but obviously...
I can't wait for it to come this year. I'll be in with you guys shouting, "You're just a fat granny shagger, fat granny shagger."
Is that what they used to yell at him?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's, there's a, you know, the story.
History, yeah. In
put that in your songbook, Southsiders.
Alphonso Davies, with the new season, has officially stepped onto the pitch with Bayern Munich.
Yes.
As a player. Official
in training.
Yeah, and one training. Of his teammates, Ribery, got fined today.
Yeah.
Well, what did he get fined for today?
Eating steak.
Oh, yeah, no, the gold plated.
His reaction to the reaction.
It was a big tirade. Yeah. He used a lot of MFers.
Yeah. He'll fit in good in the show when he comes to MLS.
But he's Alphonso Davies has they've kind of it's weird they're saying they're building him up, but then they're also saying okay, take it easy on him. We're gonna
it's like the White Caps
and
as well.
And it's the actual Bayern Munich front office or coaches that are doing this.
Yeah.
The one thing
way
they
to put pressure on the young guy.
One thing they mentioned was that you know he just needs to learn if he learns German and he's able to pick it up. You know he should have no problem.
Did you?
But I think if Wayne Rooney can pick up English, then Alphonso Davies should be able to pick up German.
I think so as well. I've said before I know a little German, Hans. I should have put him in touch with Fonzie.
Did you see Tyler Adams? Press conference at Dead Bull?
Oh, no.
You guys have seen this?
Leipzig?
At Dead Bull, yeah. He's like in his introductory press conference and like, it wasn't the coach because it wasn't Ralf Rangnick. It was someone else from Dead Bull. And they're like, yeah, just the one thing he needs to do is he needs to learn German. He's like, yeah, I know my German's coming along, whatever. He's like, the best way you can learn German is by getting a girlfriend. Tyler Adams like, I have a girlfriend. He's like, oh, I didn't know. He's like, yeah, she's German.
Oh, really?
It's so funny. Check out Manu Veth tweeted it out.
We have to play that on next week's show.
It's pretty funny.
Last bit of news, and this is really local news. Top soccer bodies are merging. Not the bodies that you were thinking.
Bodies.
Organizations.
Christmas parties. A lot of stuff happens.
Yeah, merging, yeah. BC Soccer Premier League will be moving under the leadership of BC Soccer. Now, this is... they said basically the leaders of both groups say it create more opportunities for players looking to go to college or CPL. The merger of the two will also ensure common standards for development of players, coaches, and refs to fit with Canada Soccer's objectives as well. Now, the big thing is I know that we talked before about League One in Ontario being a big thing. Now, I know this is for younger kids at this point.
Yes, under 18s.
Yeah, but can this be expanded to older and everything like that? Even League One in Ontario is for younger kids, too.
A lot of this stuff with League One, though, is down to the VMSL, Fraser Valley, and Vancouver Island teams.
Yeah.
If they can get the ducks in a row and put kind of... Like, the VMSL in local soccer is by far the biggest amateur league. They don't really want to travel to the island. Why would they? They can get good competition locally. So it's stuff like that that is preventing a League One-style league here. But if everyone can kind of put those things aside, which I don't think is going to happen for a while, we could get a League One here. And I do feel we need it. And that would be an ideal thing for, like, the Whitecaps development team to be in, for example.
Yeah, I think the long-term plan for Canadian football is for that Div 3 level to be regional at the level it's at. So League 1 Ontario, the Quebec League, and then for CPL 1, CPL 2, or whatever language is going to be used around that. And so, yeah, hopefully in the long run this will work out. Obviously we know it didn't when they tried to do it earlier, but yeah, hopefully in the long run it'll happen. Sooner rather than later.
Because there's a lot of good players playing locally, and we're going to see a few of them in the CPL. Reno's Tigers, who's a team that we've covered a lot at AFTN, three of their guys are going to the Pacific FC training camp. I won't name who they are because it's maybe not fair to the guys, but it's three guys, regulars with Reno's Tigers. They've been invited to the training camp. They'd been at the trials, they'd impressed, so they've been invited back. One of them's Japanese, which, if anyone knows Reno's Tigers, will narrow down who the one Japanese player is. But, yeah. I'll break some CPL
news. The other one's
5'7".
That's blue eyes.
Plays left back. The other one is a forward. Actually, the other one is Eli Gindo, who I'm a big fan of.
You're just going to have to edit this out.
He's a forward turned centre back, and he's been a beast for Runas Tigers this year. He's gonna
That's like Kendall Austin.
If Pacific FC take him on, it'd be a really good signing. And he made that switch with a view to going to play in the CPL. We do have some CPL news that we can reveal, although maybe I just...
Yeah, you revealed already the other one that you couldn't.
Yeah, we'll edit that then.
Yeah.
We do have some CPL news that we can reveal. Pacific FC are going to be having a big addition. It might even be announced this week, I'm not sure. But Marcus Haber is coming back to BC and is going to be playing in the purple and aquamarine.
So 2 for 2 for former Whitecaps.
Haber was released this week from his contract. He'd been playing with Falkirk on loan from Dundee. So Dundee terminated his contract and Falkirk didn't want him.
It was a mutual termination.
It was mutual termination. Yeah. But the fans, I've got to say, in Scotland were very pleased. If you read the brutal comments on Twitter when it was announced, they were so glad to see the back of him. Not the most popular player there. Zach and me's had this discussion before about him. I was never a big fan of Haber in the old USL days. I thought for a big guy, he was awful in the air. He was maybe not bad on the feet, but I want my big strikers to be good in the air as well. And I just didn't feel he had it. But fair play to him. He went over to the UK.
He spent a lot of years there.
Yeah, he carved out a career over there.
Yeah, I don't think he's the aerial threat you might want from someone that size, but I don't think he's a non-threat in the air. The one thing that's impressed me over the years, so one of the things that he's grown in his game over the year is his hold-up play. Because he used to always want to turn and use his pace, maybe, you know, in his younger days. Like, thinking that goal against Montreal, and I think it was in the playoffs. Do you remember that, Michael, at Swangard?
Yes.
Yeah. So he always I always felt like he wanted to make moves like that, like turn and use pace. I felt this hold-up play, watching for Canada and whatever over the years.
Yeah, 27 senior caps.
Yeah, has really, really improved. The thing for me, I'm really surprised at this because I think we've talked about him in the past on the show, and he's the kind of person who I think really enjoyed being a footballer in footballing nations.
Yeah, but he bounced around. He was with West Brom, then Exeter, then St Johnstone, then Stevenage, then Notts County, then Crewe, then Dundee, then Falkirk.
But all of those places, being a footballer, means something.
Oh yeah, especially Dundee and Falkirk. You go to the clubs as a footballer on a Saturday night.
Okay, that's not what I was saying, but I hear what you're saying.
I think like you're talking about like the mean comments about like him leaving that latest club, but there were some clubs that he was a big fan favorite of. Like,
didn't he do well at Stevenage?
Yeah, and St Johnstone, he had a patchy time there, but he had some good times there. He's only 29.
Yeah, he's not old.
So it's a good addition for Pacific.
Yeah. To me, based on where things are at now, if you look at the few signings that there are across the league, he could do damage in this league.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he could help create in this league.
I personally think the Western teams are much stronger than the Eastern teams. I thought the Eastern teams
were so biased. Yeah.
No, but the thing is with the
Cavalry and Pacific right now, to me, look too strong.
The thing is, I know.
Well, I forgot they're drafted players.
Pacific?
Yeah.
Zach Verhoeven, Tommy
Gardner.
No.
When I said they're 2 for 2 for Whitecaps, aside from their draft.
No, but I think like the Eastern things, the Eastern teams, I think we don't know about those players, maybe because they're Ontario.
Yeah, names I've never heard of.
So maybe we're probably a little bit uninformed.
True, because somebody sitting in Halifax or Hamilton is probably like, who's Zach Verhoeven?
Yeah, exactly.
So all three of the draft picks, are they all Whitecaps connected? Tommy is? Zach Okay, so 5 for 5 then. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is good. I'm looking forward to taking in a few Pacific games. Hopefully that schedule will come out soon as well.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Got to fit the PDL one in there as well.
The league doesn't start till probably the third week of April. It's probably around like an Easter.
Oh, yeah, I'm not expecting that to be out to February.
Yeah, and on top of that, that needs to come out after the MLS schedule.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was it. We'll have a lot more CPL chat over the year. That is it for this week's show. Just before we go, anything you want to say or add?
It's 12:29.
Yeah.
Wow.
We finished when I wanted to finish.
90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Solid. I can go the full 90. Gaffer, put me on. Don't pull me off at halftime.
Kept it tight this
week. You can
week.
If you want. Just before we go, let everyone know where they can find you online.
You can find me on Twitter at WhitecapsBeat.
For me, it's at Zachary AM, and I'm part of the Movement Curva Collective.
I'm Michael McCall. You can find me on flossing websites. Follow me on Twitter at AFTN Canada, Facebook, AFTN Canada, Instagram, AFTN Soccer, and of course, away from the numbers, AFTN.ca. Thank you for listening to our nonsense once again. Still in the airwaves in 2019, the only soccer show on Vancouver Radio. And until next week, thanks for listening. Take care. And mon the Caps. Make some signings.
Going to your first match is an experience you never forget. The atmosphere of what's going on around the pitch looks beautiful, and you always look and go, wow, I'd love to play here one day. If you get the bug, it's going to stay with you for life.
Mm-hmm.